Good afternoon, everyone. For those of you who need a title, you might use tools of the trade. Today, I'd like to talk a little bit about what it takes to accomplish a job or task. What methods do we use in completing our daily jobs or tasks? There are two areas I would like to cover that will help us fulfill the job or task at that particular moment. Number one is perfecting the use of our tools. What tools do we use? How do we perfect our use of them? Let's look at a positive example of how this person has perfected the use of a tool required to do his daily job. At the same time that I'm telling you about this man, think about the tools you use to do your daily jobs. Does anyone here know what a farrier is? Anybody? He's a blacksmith. And a farrier is one who shoes horses. The tool he uses, an anvil, is so vital to him, this is how he describes it. You could line up 100 anvils in a row and put a blindfold on a farrier and let him hit each one with his hammer. When he hits his own anvil, he would recognize the sound like a mother knowing the sound of her baby cry. In an article from Farm and Ranch, Tom Brenningstall from Michigan will give us some facts on how important it is to perfect the use of the tools that make our living. I quote, and I have quite a bit of quote here, so some of it may pertain to understanding and some of it may not, but listen and see how he does it. He says, a good anvil will teach you right from wrong, just like your father did. Like your mother, it will take good care of you. I think we could probably find a proverb in that one. An anvil will pick on you like a brother or sister if you let it. Most of all, an anvil is your best friend. It will give you back more than it takes, never asking for anything. I know about anvils because I have been a farrier since 1976. I pulled up a lot of horses' hooves and held them between my poor old knees. I calculate the number of hooves I've handled at somewhere between 160,000 and 170,000. That's the number of hooves, not the number of times I've picked each hoof up. When I'm nailing horseshoes on a horse, I might pick each foot up 5 or 6 times. That puts the number of times I've held hooves a lot higher than I need to know. I have 3 anvils for shoeing horses. A small 50-pounder, a big 150-pounder, and the one I choose to use is a 93-pound made by Mankell. I have used my Mankell for more than 30 years. It talks to me and I listen. The tools of trade that we use, do they talk to us? Do we listen to them? Tom says, this would be a good time to tell you about the parts of an anvil. The anvil may look like one big block of steel, but it has many parts. Not moving parts, but parts designed to do a job. I'll start from the bottom and work up. The bast and feet are the foundation and support the rest of the anvil. Next is the waist or throat. This narrow part of the anvil gives the farrier room underneath the horn and heel to rotate vertically the piece being worked. The horn or beak is the cone-shaped projection on which to make round forms, curves, and scrolls. When a farrier makes horseshoes from his bar stock, he will use the horn to bend the steel in the shape of the horseshoe. Then he will use the face of the anvil to work the shoe while it is level. The face is long, a flat surface on top of the anvil. It is the hardened place where most of the hammering is done. On some anvils, the face is tempered plate welded to the base. Some anvils are one piece of steel and only the face is hardened. And then before the point comes out, as he called it, there's a step between the horn and the face. It is just that, a step. Near the step at the base of the horn is the table. Unlike the face, it is made of non-tempered iron and therefore softer. Some anvils also have a place to draw clips on horseshoes while the metal is hot. Clips help hold the horseshoe in place on the horse by rising a little way up on the outside of the hoof wall. If the anvil has a clip horn, it is on the table. And he goes on to say, there are two holes in the face of a farrier's anvil, the hardy hole and the pritchel hole. Hardies are steel cutting tools. And what this is a little square hole in the top, and he has another tool, like maybe a chisel. He sticks that down into that hole and it holds it. After he heats the iron or the shoe, he then puts that on there, and with a hammer he beats it until it cuts off what he wants to cut off. And the hardy hole, which is square, also holds other top of anvil tools called swages and forming tools. And then he goes on and says, the pritchel holes are found only on a farrier anvil. These round 1/2-inch holes on the heel of the anvil are used to punch nails in the horseshoes. And he says here, besides the sound of the anvil, you get to know the feel of it. To a farrier or a blacksmith, an anvil is like family. And he finishes up by saying this, talking about anvils reminds me of my friend and mentor, Bob Ramoon. He ran Wolverine Farrier School when I went there back in 1976. Bob passed away a few years ago, but I will always remember his wisdom. Bob believed that fancy tools did not a farrier make. He once told me that if you couldn't make a shoe fit by hammering on the ball of a trailer hitch with a claw hammer, you probably weren't worth your salt. I took his point to heart and remain an old school farrier with a simple forge, anvil, and hand tools. I heat factory-made horseshoes in my forge, then draw clips, shape the shoe on the anvil, fit the shoes to the trimmed hoofs, and nail them on. I'm still able to shoe all four hoofs on a horse in 45 minutes. Not bad for a man 72 years old. Quite a story. You know, when I look at my tools of trade, I think back quite a few years ago when I started with a pencil and a drafting machine. And now I use a complicated computer that has programs that you can't learn in I probably could never learn everything that was on the computer. And I have much more room for learning. What about your tools of trade? What knitting needles do you use, round or straight? What computer software do you use? Can we go online to study and perfect our knowledge of it? What is our favorite tool in the kitchen? What tools feel the best in the plumber's hand? And what about the gardener? What is the tool that does the best for them? Each one of us has a task or a job to perform. Let's ask ourselves, how can we improve the use of our tools to make the job easier, faster, and end up with a job well done? The second area to help us with our task is the process. This one, to me, is the most important because it's spiritual. I would like us to think of the process as a plan on how we attack the task. Do we think it through before we start, or do we start and analyze the problems as we go? Engineers usually start without reading instructions. This is bad because when we get stuck, we have to stop the process, read the directions, eat crow, undo, and start the process over. Let's look at the spiritual process at completing a job that is well done. When we spend time with God, studying His written word, reading it over and over again, we can find the answers to the problems and questions that will come up in these tasks. We can read about so many examples in the Bible of those who followed God's word and prospered. And here is a beautiful example. In Genesis 26, a famine came over the land. And Isaac went to Abimelech, king of the Philistines, in Gerar. The Lord appeared to Isaac and said, "Do not go down to Egypt. Stay in this land for a while, and I will be with you and bless you." So Isaac stayed in Gerar, and he obeyed God. Here is one of the blessings for Isaac in verse 12. It says, "Isaac planted crops in the land, and the same year reaped a hundredfold, because the Lord blessed him." Verse 13, "The man became rich, and his wealth continued to grow until he became very wealthy. He had so many flocks and herds that the Philistines envied him." Let's stop for a moment and analyze what a hundredfold means. Now, it said that Isaac planted his crops. Did he plant one? He probably planted wheat. He probably planted corn. Who knows how many? But a hundredfold, if he planted 100 bushel, that means that he yielded 10,000 bushel. And think of how much 10,000 bushel is. And today, if any one of you went out and invested $100 and you yield a hundredfold, that's $10,000. I mean, that's a pretty good amount of receiving. Now, if God blessed Isaac 100-fold, why would he not bless us in the same manner? Now, Isaac did not ask for a blessing. God told him he would give him blessings. And there are many examples in the Bible of where people had a relationship with God and asked for blessings and received them. I will ask this question. Are you obeying God in the same manner as Isaac did? Our lives are busy, busy, busy every day. We have so many things to do. Are we taking shortcuts in obeying God's word? If all of Isaac's crops produced 100-fold, I can tell you this. He and his family were busy, busy, busy using some kind of tool to take away the weeds. And he may have been much busier than we are, yet he found the time to obey God to the extent of being extremely blessed. In conclusion, when we have any task or job to do, let's think about how we will excel in them. If the task or job requires special tools, analyze, study, and learn the facts of how this tool will make our jobs easier. Let's put God in the picture and ask Him in prayer to guide our hands and teach us how to get the most out of the tools we use in our daily task. He wants to help us, but He requires us to ask Him. Matthew 7, verse 8 says, "For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds, and to him that knocks, the door will be open." And I divert for 1 second, because as I was doing this morning, I had this pen in my hand that was given to me as a gift from the church on Father's Day. And some unknown reason, and I believe it was God talking to me, I looked and it said here, Jeremiah 17:7. And I hadn't looked at Jeremiah 17:7 since I got this pen. So I got my Bible out, and I read it, and I thought, how apropos, at this very moment, Jeremiah 17:7 says, "Blessed is the man that trusts in the Lord. The Lord is his security." There it is. Christ gave us these words, and he meant them. When our relationship with God, the Father, and his Son, Jesus Christ, become like the relationship that Isaac had, I believe that we will be blessed by a hundredfold as well. Let us seek help and guidance, first from God and Jesus Christ, then prepare for the task at hand. If we use the tools, processes, and examples God has given us, he will be able to say, "Good job, well done, my faithful servant."